The New Zealand Initiative have produced research that questions junk food taxes. They say there is no evidence such taxes actually work in reducing obesity, especially a sugary drinks tax. We're going to talk about this in just a moment. Predictably, the lobbyists have ridiculed the research, which to me seems quite extensive. It's about 80 pages and it's very thorough. But they have ridiculed this research. The Greens put out a press release today claiming that the New Zealand Initiative was in the pockets of junk food companies. But guess what? They never produced anything in that statement, in that press release, to repel the research. I've been saying this for a while. The pro-tax lobby need to come to the table with some facts. Show us where obesity has reduced because of a 20% tax on a bottle of fizzy drinks. Just show us. That's a fair thing to request. The New Zealand Initiative research suggests there is no evidence, and we'll look at that in just a moment. China. Now, China reveals that a New Zealand citizen, Bill Liu, is ranked number 5 on its top 100 extradition list. It's well known that China wants Liu back. They claim that Liu has stolen $139 million when he was chairman of a pharmaceutical company and fled to New Zealand. He claims it's a lot of nonsense. Police here have seized millions of dollars of assets believed to belong to Liu. Look, this should be a simple extradition case. China prove they have a case and Liu goes back to face the music, if there is any, if China proves they have a case. That's why we need an extradition treaty with China, despite the opposition from the usual suspects. Liu, by the way, is the guy who Labour, when they were in government, gave citizenship to. In a private ceremony in Parliament, they were advised not to. Interpol had an interest, but they went ahead and did so anyway. The 60 Minutes crew will look at this after 5, out of Lebanon after a deal was struck over their kidnapping stunt. The deal was the mother, Sally Faulkner, handing, we believe, over custody to the father of the kids and a hefty payout. Some reports suggest, the Australian reporting, that it could be a multi-million dollar payout, although the father denies getting anything. What will now play out will be Channel 9 milking in 60 Minutes, milking the story for all it's worth. We will get the sob tearful storyline when the real deal is this. They stuffed up. It was a rating stunt. It was tabloid journalism, and it backfired big time. And look what's happened. The mother has lost her kids thanks to a botched up operation, but she and Channel 9 should never have entered into it in the first place.
Larry Williams.
All right, it's the debate that just keeps on going. A sugar tax, should we or shouldn't we? Think tank New Zealand Initiative released a report that says we shouldn't because there isn't really any evidence it will reduce obesity. Oliver Hartwich is the executive director of the New Zealand Initiative, and Dr. Hartwich is with me. Oliver, good evening to you, sir.
Hello, good afternoon.
Right, so the research, it's 80 pages, it covers a lot of areas. Let's focus on the taxes for now. Why don't you think a food tax will work?
Well, our starting point is really individual liberty and consumer sovereignty. We think, as a matter of principle, consumers should always be able to make their own decisions. They should actually decide how they want to live their lives. And if you want to overrule that, if you want to interfere with their decisions, well, then you have to have really good reasons for that. And you have to have good arguments on your side to back up your claims that what you're doing to their consumer sovereignty actually improves the situation. When you look at sugar taxes, we're not so sure that's actually the case. Because what a sugar tax claims to do is not just to reduce the consumption of these sugary drinks, but also to have health effects and reduce obesity and reduce the risks of diabetes, for example. And we think that you cannot really establish that causal link between a sugar tax and these health outcomes.
Have you seen any evidence anywhere in the world, let's start with them, sugary drinks tax, that it reduces obesity, and that's the key here. Have you seen any evidence?
We haven't seen evidence for that at all. Where we have seen some very weak evidence is that with a sugar tax, you can, of course, reduce the consumption of some drinks, not by much, I would say. But the problem remains, you will perhaps reduce the consumption of some fizzy drinks, for example, if you design a sugar tax like that. But then people will still get their sugar rush somewhere else. They will then just consume other drinks. I mean, take a look at the UK example. They're introducing a so-called sugar tax. Well, actually, it's a fizzy drinks tax because it doesn't apply, for example, to milk-based products. It doesn't apply to juices. So therefore, if you really want a sugar rush in the UK, you just get to other products. And there are, of course, plenty of other products where you could also get your sugar ration. You could have cereals, you could have muffins, you could have tomato ketchup. You can get your sugar from so many different sources, and just applying it to one product category, actually with a quite weak tax. We're not talking about taxes like, you know, the tobacco excise, but just a few cents a litre. You're not really going to get any big outcomes.
So what do you think is different with a tax on tobacco as compared to a tax on, say, soft drinks?
Well, the difference is actually the magnitude of the tax. When we're looking at tobacco taxes, we are basically talking about a tax that's currently about 150% of the product price, whereas even the most aggressive sugar taxes introduced so far, take the Mexican example, that's just a few cents a litre. So with that, you're not really going to get the same kind of behaviour change that you might get from a tobacco-style tax.
The Mexico example is one that the pro-tax lobby here cite as a good example as to why we should introduce a sugary tax. What's wrong with the Mexico example?
Well, first of all, we don't really know too much about the Mexico example because it's only been in operation for under 2 years. There are no great long-term results about the Mexico tax. And again, it suffers from exactly the same problems that I mentioned before.
Substitution,
Exactly. And therefore, you cannot really make a causal link between the introduction of a sugar tax or a sugar drinks tax and actual health outcomes that you're really about.
What about tax on junk food?
Well, similar problem, really. Junk food, first of all, you have to define it. Then you can, of course, always find substitutes and alternatives. And then you have to prove a link, actually, between that tax and the health outcomes, which is really hard to do. Problem also for all of these taxes, especially for so-called junk food and for fizzy drinks, is we know that, of course, lower socioeconomic groups are much more likely to consume these products. So these taxes also turn out to be quite regressive, actually.
Yeah, okay. But if you reduce consumption because of a tax, doesn't it then follow that you reduce weight?
Not necessarily. You might reduce the consumption of some parts of your daily consumption, some product categories, but people will then actually resort to other products.
All right, so you come back to the substitution thing. Yeah,
totally.
I understand that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we all agree, I think, that obesity is an issue, so you're not suggesting that it's not, are you?
No, certainly not. I mean, we don't dispute that for a second. We acknowledge that there is a problem with obesity in this country. We acknowledge that there is a problem with diabetes. The World Health Organization has just recently warned us of the dangers. That is not the question here. The question is really whether the policies we're introducing to combat these issues will actually have an effect. And we think because we are actually fiddling with individual consumers' liberty and sovereignty, we should be able to show that what we're doing really works. Because at the moment, it seems this is a policy that is made on the fly because politicians want to be seen as doing something, but there are no silver bullets.
Well, it's not a policy yet. It's a proposal from a lot of academics, but the government, the health minister, has already said that they're not going there because there's no evidence that links that it reduces obesity.
That is true for New Zealand, but I was talking about these international examples like the UK, like Mexico, like some Scandinavian countries. So these are policies that are on the rise, and they are actually spreading around the world, and we should be very careful not to make the same mistakes here because we simply haven't seen any evidence. We launched the report last night at a public event where we had the Treasury's chief economist, and he basically supported our position. We summarized the state of the evidence, of the empirical evidence, brilliantly in the report because they couldn't find any evidence either.
Right. Well, the problem with those taxes like the UK, for example, is it's a company tax, so it's levelled across all their business, including bottled water. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, roughly. Basically, what they're doing in the UK is they make the company liable for the tax, but the company is then free to spread the tax over all their products. So in the end, you might actually levy a tax on Coca-Cola, for example, but because they're selling all sorts of other products, they might then choose actually to distribute the tax between all their different product categories that they have on offer.
You look at the academics that are batting for this. There's a lot of them. Do you think this is inevitable?
Well, I see the academics that have signed petitions in favour of a sugar tax. I also see that in opinion polls, of course, more than 80% of New Zealanders support a sugar tax, and I can see why they're supporting this, because they want to do something about the problems.
Yeah.
They want to do something about obesity. I understand that completely, and I take that as a sign that the community, that health academics, are really concerned about the issues. Where we are just begging to differ here is really in saying, yes, we share your concerns. We just don't think that the measures that you are proposing will have an effect.
Right. Well, they're health experts. They're not experts in tax and cause and effect, those sort of thing. Your opponents Both the Protex lobby and the Greens, the academics and the Greens, they say that you're in the pockets of the junk food lobby. What do you say?
Well, I readily admit that we've got some companies backing us that are part of the food and beverage industry. There's no doubt about that. And you can see all our members on our website. However, the way that the initiative works is actually we have our companies supporting our general research program. And we are working on housing policy. We're working on education. Mm. We're working on welfare policies. The way it works is you support the initiative as an organization, and then you don't have a say on the research outputs. And I can also tell you that the New Zealand Initiative and its membership is not an echo chamber. We have plenty of members with very different opinions, and even on this particular project that we have just launched, we had some disagreements within the membership. There are different opinions within the membership, and we are just doing our research. We're just pointing out to the existing body of economic literature, of empirical research, of empirical evidence, and we just tell our members and the public that we couldn't find any proper evidence.
Right. Well, interestingly enough, the people that have been attacking you today haven't actually offered up any evidence that sugary drinks tax reduces obesity or taxes on junk food. They haven't offered anything up because probably there's nothing there.
There is nothing there. They can't point to any evidence because it simply doesn't exist. And if I read, for example, the press release that was put out by the Green Party trying to rubbish the report, I actually wonder whether they read it, because we're not calling it to dispute any of the problems, any of the health problems that they are concerned about. We are concerned about them too. All we're saying in the report is that what you're proposing, a sugar tax, simply doesn't do the trick here.
Thank you for coming on the program. That is Dr. Oliver Hartwich, Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. It's 4:18.